Bitch, can we just for a moment absorb the vibes of this set right now and what I'm wearing? I am feeling, spicy today. I'm feeling like I'm so happy to be here talking to you, and I'm feeling like I've been saying over and over, let's do a high episode. I'm like starting to even get weird doing this because I don't know what I can put online or not, what can be monetized or not, what gets banned, what gets me on the shit list for role models, and future role models of this world. And I might want to run for president someday, and I'm very aware that this video will resurface and circulate. But I'd like to think that the world will be progressive enough to one, be voting in a female president, but also two, to get over this little hump we've built around the devil's lettuce, if you will. The, what should I call it? The green shmean, the gardening tools. But today I thought, what better time than to toke it up and just have a little chit chat with you and talk about whatever comes to my mind when I am elevated. So without further ado, welcome to the first installment, maybe the last, depending on my attitude and what kind of trouble I get myself into with what I say. But no, welcome for real to the first, what am I going to call it? Stay open, stay flower sniffing, smelling the roses with stay open. I have no idea. Anyways, if you have a good idea for a name, let me know. But let's get into it. Okay, so today, instead of doing a cocktail segment, I just have my little goodies here off camera, because I know that'll definitely get me monetized if I do it on camera. But just a little disclaimer before we get into this, smoke it if you got one. No, I'm kidding. Smoke it if it's legal in your state, or don't smoke it if it's not your thing. But I am much more, have always been more of a flower type of girl than an alcohol type of girl, if you know what I mean. And I'm a grown ass woman who pays my grown ass bills, and I've always wanted to do this. I've literally always wanted to do this. So I hope you like it. I'm again, let's do the deed off camera. Grab your ladies, assemble your weapons. What do you say? Rev those engines. And whether you're eating, drinking, toking, smoking, bowling, doinking, this episode is for you. We'll do a little ASMR while we're getting into it. Imagine if I just lit my mic on fire. If you're watching this, if you're watching this episode, you're in for a treat. One, because I look like early 2000s sugar baby mixed with a Dr. Seuss Smurf had a love child. No, a Lorax, like the Lorax or the trees had a love child, and they made me today. So I am just here vibing. If I say that one more time, off me, okay? Welcome to Stay Open. Welcome to that fun little intro together and the first episode, hopefully of many, of just hanging out. I will say one thing that I do love about Call Her Daddy, Miss Alexander Cooper, the father of the whores. Just kidding. I can't say that. Okay. One thing I do like about Call Her Daddy is she's normalizing smoking and partaking in the same way that she also has guests on who drink wine with her. Like, why can't you toke with her too? And she had on Trish and Brandy Cyrus, Miley Cyrus's mom and sister, older sister. I think Brandy's the oldest. I could be wrong, but I think she is. That episode was so funny, and I loved them so much. They were on promoting their podcast, Sorry We're Stoned, and it's so good. I could listen to both of them talk for forever. They bounce off of each other. They're hilarious. They obviously have a family dynamic that is like hard to manufacture between people that aren't related or mother and daughter. And it's fabulous. So if you need a new podcast, look up Sorry We're Stoned. Free plug, but I fucking love them. I'll free plug them all day long. But anyways, the culture around the act and partaking in flower, which is what I'm calling. I back to what I was saying, the stereotype and vibe around it in the business culture is very interesting to me, because people in industries and in high stress work environments, this is just allegedly, in my opinion, do a lot worse than the Mary Jane. And they put a lot worse things other places in their body, up their nose maybe. And they're the people writing these policies to keep a medicine off the market that is scientifically proven to be life-changing. And there's obviously a lot more studies that need to come out about it. And the quality to which it used to be made, like the pure factor, I think is harder to find. Just like finding organic produce is a little harder to find. It's still in the grocery store. They still sell it, but you have to go and seek it out. It's not just the first thing in your eyesight. I think that's the same with the Mary Jane industry, but all in all, if someone, and this is in my opinion, allegedly, if someone could partake in this experience in whatever form they see fit, because I know that inhaling smoke is inflammatory, but they make tinctures and you can add it flavorlessly to food, your own food. You can buy food with it in it. If someone could do that and relax and wind down at the end of their day, staying in their house, not hurting anybody, instead of taking a man-made, manufactured pharmaceutical drug that's feeding a larger system that has bigger issues, needs reform, needs attention, needs real change in this country. Paying for that drug is just paying for that business to stay in business. Not to mention what it does to your body, the inflammation it brings to your intestines and your gut, the imbalance it can potentially, allegedly, in my opinion, bring imbalances to your hormones. Some, not all, but you know, it changes you chemically in a way that Mary Jane does not. And if Mary Jane does, because I'm talking out of my ass, if Mary Jane does do that, it only does it temporarily. The long-term effects, give or take what Dr. Amen says, and he's a doctor, it can affect things, but just think about the long-term effects of cancer and other issues that are prolonged and continued and perpetuated with pharmaceutical man-made drugs, compared to something that grows out of the ground that is from Mother Nature and Mother Earth. You know, I just think we need a lot of change in that area. And I'm not doing anything with my platform if I don't, if I truly feel this passionate, which I do. And I know that I say that looking absolutely fire. Pookie is looking fire tonight. Can we talk about that couple? Screw what I was saying. Let's just lift this up. Let's bring it high. Can we talk about that couple? Pookie is looking... Okay. I feel like I have a perspective outlook on this couple. Also, I just want to say, all love, okay? She's obviously a stunner. Who even says that? She's a stunner. She is so well put together. She is the most, like, Pinterest board epitome of not just a beautiful woman, because I don't want to just dive right into her looks. Like, she has style, she has class, she obviously has intelligence, and her husband loves her very much. So all love. But, and I have a unique perspective because I went to school in the South, and being in school in Alabama, I went to the University of Alabama. For those of you that don't know, roll mother effing tide in this B. No, really, roll tide. I just think that is the quintessential couple. It's this man who has looked like he's pushing 40 since he was 12, with this drop-dead, gorgeous, take-your-breath-away, never-seen-natural-beauty-like-that-in-your-life woman. And most likely they go to the same church, and most likely they are from the same town, and most likely their family is of the same affluent part of society, and most likely, allegedly, in my opinion, that is the vibe, and they know the vibes. And that's why people who aren't from the South are so fascinated with them, because they don't get it. But then that's why people from the South are so obsessed with them, because they are the epitome of Southern white rich culture. And I've seen it 10,000 times over in front of me every single day at the MRS Academy of the University of Alabama for some women, allegedly, in my opinion. And it just fascinates me. I also was thinking about this with Alex Earle. No shade. I love her. It's so interesting seeing her live her life, because I was around her age when I started this podcast. I was around her age when I lived in Italy, and like all of my insecurities about being that age and not feeling like confident in my body and in who I was as a person. And I was wanting so badly for the world to see me, but I think what I really needed to do was see myself and nurture myself. I was in a different part of life, but to see her living my dreams at that age is so crazy, but it's so fun, and I enjoy her. I love watching her stuff, but I don't know. It's just nuts how her kind of celebrity arc has taken off and transformed, and what TikTok can do as a platform. And that's just because I'm in the social space and I find that shit fascinating. If you're like not fascinated by that, I get it, but it just personally fascinates me. Anyways, I was thinking about this because she was posting content for Easter on her yacht with her family, and I don't know who bought that yacht. I am only speaking from the perspective of having been on a yacht in my life, having the mother effing privilege, because that was like literally one of the coolest things I've ever done. Just for a transparent perspective, so people know like the money that it costs for a yacht, I think to charter a yacht, allegedly, in Europe. I don't think they're in Europe. I think they chart around the Caribbean. Like I'm assuming they get on in Miami and just like drive around Florida. That's sick. And like to the Caribbean islands, the Virgin Islands, like I don't know where you go, but Atlantis, I have no idea, but they just kind of chart around. I don't know if they own that boat, but to rent one on a boat their size, which was pretty much the size I was on, for a week, I think, and it varies, is around $130,000, maybe $120,000. And that's what her family does for Easter. Isn't that amazing? My family for Easter goes to church, goes to our house without a yacht, and just eats a nice home-cooked meal without a yacht. which is also beautiful. But like, do you see what I'm saying? That is not a norm on Easter for a lot of people. And then I just find it fascinating when rich, hot, pretty women are the ones that are then lifted in society on a social status level, like, and they just continue to make more money and continue to be hot, rich, and famous. And I often think if that correlates because people gravitate towards that, like they like to watch that content. And she was like already, you know, sporting the Chanel bags before the deals with Chanel, because like some influencers can't pay for that type of drip. And they're not getting like packages on packages. Like most people pay to go to Coachella, like out of their own pocket. Maybe their manager or their agent can get them access to a VIP pass, but if they can, I bet they still pay for it. Like, they don't just give this shit away. It's a very small percentage of people who get shit given away. And people really pay their way. Influencers, like, sometimes that's when they say it's, you know, social media isn't the same as real life. Like, they're just flexing on a credit card like everybody else. You shouldn't be flexing on a credit card, but they still do it. I think people would be shocked, but like people like Alex Earl is already rocking the high fashion expensive shit because she's already rich. So then people like to see that lifestyle, which in turn gets her to show the lifestyle. It's like the Kardashian effect, which I don't think had really been done on that level before. And of course they kind of paved the way, the queens. But yeah, anyways, just food for thought. I went on a little tangent there. I'll come back to the episode. Thanks for gibbing about social shit with me. I could go on literally for days, but I wanted to talk to you real quick about something that I wanted to add to the pod. Every month, I want to have a self-care challenge. And I know the first of every month is not always a Monday, so this is lucky. Also, happy April Fools. I was going to say that... What am I doing on camera? You guys, I'm like talking with my hands and seeing myself in the camera. It's just too much. I was going to say that I was deciding to stop Stay Open podcast because I've just done it for so long and I feel like I can't stay, you know, I don't put out episodes like Big Machine wants me to, and just kidding, April Fools. That's what I was going to say, but I'm not gonna do that to you, because why would I do that to you? I don't want to scare you. I'm here. Listen, and I'm gonna put this here for record. I've said this to myself a year ago when I took my year off from this platform. I said, I'm going to get back on the horse and I might not do it right. And I might not do it every week. And I might not do it the way other people do it. But what I will do is never stop, because this is a passion of mine. And I don't care if I'm 23. I'm not even 23. I don't care if I'm 23 when I started, 29 now while I have it, 102 with my daughter, granddaughter in the background being my videographer when this is now 3D and like you can feel like I'm sitting in the room with you talking. I don't care what it is. I'm still going to do it because I genuinely love this. And I heard someone say, and I'm not forgetting the challenge. Okay, we'll come back to that. I heard someone say the other day that podcasting, like people who podcast have to have a little bit of narcissism because we feel like what we have to say is like so groundbreaking that people have to listen. And I want to challenge that statement. Of course I do. You're probably like, yeah, bitch, that exactly is what you are. But I want to challenge that statement because I'm not denying the narcissism part, although I think we throw around the word narcissism. What it is it's not narcissism, it's an ego. And I do have a healthy ego, bitch. I've had one since I could walk, talk, sing, dance, perform for you. Okay. I acted when I was, when did I start? When I was 7 or 8 is when I started acting. I worked as a child actor. That's a whole other topic of discussion. We'll put a bookmark in that. But I say all that to say you have a healthy ego. It's not narcissism. There's that's a difference, okay? The second thing is there's such thing as a healthy ego. And I personally, if you can't tell, I felt attacked in that statement. I personally feel as though I don't claim to fucking know everything. In fact, I say a lot on this podcast, I don't know. I don't know, in my opinion and allegedly. I'm just here sharing my human experience with a lens that then can take this video, transport it somehow into the ether. You're now watching and listening to it, and you might not know me. You may have known me for a million years. You may have used to know me. You don't know me anymore, but you still listen to my shit. And suddenly, we're in a discussion, a conversation that's different than any other experience on the internet and in the world. And I think that is so fucking cool. And the fact that you're even here to listen to me and hang out with me means the world to me. So, no, I'm not claiming to know everything. But I, you know, okay. And this is a true story. My whole life. You know when you're in a group of people or you're in a classroom and the teacher asks a question or says, let's share examples and nobody talks because nobody wants to be the first one to talk. I don't know what people like. Nobody wants to do it. So you're just quiet. I'm always and always have been the person to share the experience, to get up, to be the example. I'm okay to be even the wrong example, because who cares? Maybe that person then sees the wrong example and that inspires them to be the right example. I've always been that person. So I felt like in life, I talked to so many friends, so many girlfriends who are like, I keep my shit bottled up. I don't speak my mind. And women in our lives, for some reason, we just become quiet. We quiet down because we're told to. I don't know, because you have a traumatic experience with someone who tells you to shut the fuck up and you're like, I'm never going to speak again. I don't know what it is, but I'm not that. And I will never be that. So I will continue to sit here on this microphone in front of this camera and speak my mind and talk my truth. And in hopes that even one of you feels inspired in your life to do the thing that you're meant to do, to end the relationships that are meant to end, to kickstart the career you're meant to be in, to find the love you're meant to be loved by. I don't know. If you just do the thing, and even one of you do the thing, that's why I'm doing this. Not because I think what I have to say is like the most perfect, the most right thing in the world. There is something for everybody to say about some topic on either side of the line. And that's just the internet. And that's on period. And I now want to go back to the self-care challenge of the month. So anyways, April Fool's, happy April Fool's Day. Not every month starts on the first on a Monday, but that is a powerful fucking time for me. Hit me on a Sunday or a Monday with a number one and we are together. I have been the Energizer Bunny today. I have a goal of smashing all of my to-dos on my to-do list and I'm going to do it because that's the kind of day that I feel like I'm having. Anywho, speaking of my planner, which I'm almost out of, I need to get a new one. It was a self-care planner that I've talked about on here before, I think, from Amazon. I really love it. And at the top of each month, it has little like challenges and they're self-care challenges. So I'm not claiming to have come up with this on my own, but I thought it would be fun for us to do together because it's actually something I do all the time and I need to stop doing. So the self-care challenge that I was given this month that I'm now passing on to you to do in solidarity together is to replace I'm sorry with a thank you, with a sentence of gratitude. And this is my example. before you start putting weird sentences together. The example they give me, as I will give you, is if you're running late to show up on like a date or with a friend, instead of saying, "I'm so sorry I'm late," you say, "Thank you so much for waiting." Doesn't that just sound like, why are you saying you're sorry? I mean, I get it to an extent because I'm a fucking sorrier. I say sorry all the time when you shouldn't say sorry. And women do this all the time. And I've really tried to stop. I've tried to stop because it's an epidemic. And you don't need to be sorry sometimes. If you're sorry, say you're sorry. But I think it's so interesting to lead more with gratitude. And I'm sure that person would love to hear more of a "thank you so much for waiting for me. That was really sweet of you. I didn't mean to be late. I need to work on timing." I don't know. That just sounds nicer. So I'm going to do that this month. And anytime I'm apologizing, instead of fucking apologizing, I'm just going to thank them and be gracious and show gratitude of them and their time. I think it is a nicer, happier, more elevated energy transfer between two people. So I'd like to bestow that upon you as well. Moving on. I wanted to go back to the bookmark that I said I would put in with being a child actor, because this pertains to Quiet on Set documentary with Nickelodeon. Okay. First of all, can we just hold... And I'm so real. I'm being for real when I say this. Can we just hold a moment of silence for the, I don't even know what the age groups would be. I was born in 1995. Now, I had friends that had siblings that were older. And that was like they were born in the early 90s. So let's just say the 90s kids, okay? Wherever you fall on that. But my sister, who was born in 96, she kind of remembered these shows, but she only was watching them because I was watching them because I was the older sister. Like, her age group wasn't really watching this. So let's say 90 to 95. Also, my sister was born in 97, not 96. But anyways, you get the gist. Let's say 90 to 95, 96 maybe. The Amanda Bynes show. All of the Mary-Kate and Ashley movies, everything that Lindsay Lohan ever touched with her magical hands, and Miss Hillary motherfucking Duff, the queen reigns supreme herself. Those women, I saw something, a meme online that said, these are the women, always right in the world, like, these were the women that shaped me. It's true. Those women shaped me. Can we have a moment of silence for the 90 to 95, 96 range of people who have had to watch over and over again our childhood shows, our favorite, like, funny, entertaining shows have just killed us. They've just murdered my heart, stabbed me 1,000 times over. Can we hold a moment of silence for those victims, if you will, of just our dreams being absolutely crushed? Like, it's one thing to be told that Santa isn't real. Okay, because when you grow up, you learn the ways of the world. You see why children get these holidays that have like a happiness to them, because the world when you grow up can be harsh. So they leave these little nuggets, these pockets of peace, if you will, for us to believe that a magical man comes and leaves us presents, when really it's something else, which we're not going to get into because I'm a little STONED. I digress. Between Disney and the things that Demi Lovato has put into our lives, the drama, the heartbreak, the drama on Camp Rock set, what that did to our souls, Hannah Montana, Miley Mother Muffin Cyrus, and her struggles as Hannah Montana, okay? Like, every girl my age, or as maybe this is just me, see, again, coming back to the performer, I wanted to be Hannah Montana. I wanted that to be my reality. I lived in a false sense of Hannah Montana would be me someday. that and Hermione Granger. I just wanted to, I just loved that era. And we had so many amazing, funny, hilarious leading women. Like Chelsea Handler fucking who? I had Amanda motherfucking Bynes, okay? That's who I had. And I loved the Amanda Bynes show, and I also thought I was going to be Amanda Bynes. Seriously, she was like one of my inspirations for why I wanted to act. And I was acting around all of this. Like, I left Hollywood when Hannah Montana came out, Wizards of Waverly Place came out, The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. I could go on and on. Like, Lizzie McGuire was a couple years before. That was like out and about while I was acting. But Hannah Montana had not started yet. So Miss Selena, gotta keep your eye out for Selena, wasn't in Hollywood really like that yet. Wizards of Waverly Place was her big break. And I was going to auditions with these girls. We went to the same auditions. And I auditioned for Disney all the mother effing time. Disney, what didn't you see in me? No, but anyways, I just scratched the surface of that industry and what it meant to be a young little girl in that industry. And I have fucked up trauma from that industry. And I didn't even experience anything close to what allegedly, in my opinion, some of those women like Amanda Bynes was. And so to see that documentary come out and to know that some actors, you know, took, allegedly, in my opinion, money bribes, potentially to be quiet, to not speak on matters. Maybe they signed NDAs to see kids who probably went through trauma that ended up signing those NDAs that could really speak out, like really speak out, to see what's happened to so many of these young women in our lives who need an upper and a downer and a hairdresser to keep their hair on their head and their wigs because their hair's falling out, and then they're doing meth and they're almost dying, and then they're walking around the streets of LA homeless, taking selfies with fans, which, by the way, fuck those fans, because that's sick as fuck. I would have taken her in a second. Like, hello, queen of our generation. Can I say queen anymore? But truly, it's just really interesting to me, and it's so sad. And I think, yeah, it has to be brought to light, but like, I can't be the only one walking around being like, wow, I feel guilty. I feel like I took entertainment. I was the dancing monkey on the other side of the TV supporting this network that was just perpetuating such evil and putting it on camera for all the world to see and for me to consume. Like, I didn't need to see Ariana Grande upside down on a bed in Victorious pouring water on her cha-chas being like, ah-ha-ha, like, no, what? Miss Grande was doing that. We watched that. Why did I need to? I didn't need to watch that. She didn't need to do that. How about that? And you want to know a really H-I-G-H thought? I was thinking about this with a show called Alien Resident on Netflix. And in this show, the premise, I'll say it without ruining it for you, if you're interested in watching it. It's quirky, it's weird, it's not for everybody, and I'm not even going to recommend it. That's where I'm at with the show. But I will say, if you don't have anything else to watch, it's not bad. Do with that what you will. Anyways, there's a scene in it where, oh, I'm sorry, the gist. There's an alien who crashed on Earth, and he kills someone. Wait, that's already telling you the show. Well, but you kind of need to know that. Anyways, he takes on the look of a human and assimilates into the culture of this small town in Colorado. I don't even know if that town's real, but it's absolutely stunning. The man that he takes on, like, his look is a doctor, so all of a sudden he's a doctor in the town. It's like, it's funny, it's cute. But there's one kid in the town. I guess this is a spoiler. Spoiler alert. There's one kid in the town who can see him as his true alien form. And it's a very rare gene in your DNA. And this kid just happens to have it, right? And when I say kid, I mean kid. This kid is like 10, I think. And there's a scene where this alien man, dressed up as an alien, is talking to the kid, and he says something like, "You're nothing, you're stupid, you're a little brat, you little motherfucker." Like, he's like bullying this kid and being really harsh. In my opinion, it was harsh. I don't care if it's a fucking TV show. These writers can choose what the fuck they say. Remember that. They can choose. They're called the writer. They write it, and they write weird shit. And they write mean shit, and they write inappropriate shit. And I'm sitting there thinking, that kid is probably looking at that man dressed up as an alien. And he knows the actor behind that face. They spend every day on set together. They know everyone around them. There's probably about 15 to 25 people around them watching them do this scene. Remember that. You're being watched. Yeah, you're not being watched by the millions of fucking people that are going to see the show when it's edited, cut, and, you know, the whole bells and whistles put on. But you're on set with adults that are all staring at you. And to be there and to be, yeah, it's a show. Yeah, you're just saying lines. But when you're little, you can't different, like, your brain almost can't differentiate that what you're hearing is not real. Like, you know what you're hearing is not real. You know you're on a job, but you're also 10. And when someone says something to you enough, like if you play a role long enough where people are calling down on you or bullying you, or think about the kids that get casted as the fat kid. Like, what do you think that means to their psyche? I think Josh Peck has talked about this with his weight gain and weight loss, vice versa, from Drake and Josh to now. And like, he was always known as the fat kid. Like, that's how he was casted. And it's funny, sure, when you're watching the show, but if you've acted, you know, like, as an actor, it's not real for you, but also your body, when you're that little, doesn't register that what you're hearing isn't real. And I was just thinking about this little 10-year-old kid being yelled at by an alien, being called a motherfucker, and like, "You're terrible, you're horrible." Like, he's probably sitting there like, "Am I terrible? Am I horrible?" Like, you hear that enough and you play that role and you get out and you're like, "Am I terrible? Am I horrible?" This is so super trigger warning, but it's my experience. It's interesting. It's something, I wouldn't say it was traumatizing for me, but it has to have affected me in some way in my psyche, for sure. I was 11, and by the way, my trigger warning is if you have triggers from sexual abuse by a family member, physical abuse, mental illness, schizophrenia, manic episodes, like, fast forward 15, 20 minutes. Seriously. So carrying on the story, when I was 11, I was casted in a student film. I think it was a student film, or was it a, yeah, I think my director was a student at the time, because we drove down to Santa Barbara State, maybe. And by we, it was my dad and I. And anyways, I got cast in a student film. I was so excited, you guys. This was my first, like, movie that I was doing. And it's called Personal Demons, for anyone that wants to try and find it. I cannot find it. So if you do find it, please send it to me so I can show Zachary. I think my parents own a film of it, but I don't know where it is. But it's fucking dark, okay? Stick with me. I was casted as a little girl at my age, around 11, who plays the younger self to the main character of the movie. And this main character is a prostitute. The entire movie takes place in a motel. It never leaves that room. We go in the motel and then we go in the bathroom of the motel. And she is manic. She's schizophrenic and she has episodes where she hallucinates and sees people in her life who have hurt her or affected her or have given her the trauma that she has in the modern day, which was the film. And I am one of her people that she sees, and she sees herself, basically her child self. And I'm kind of her savior. Like when she sees me, it's in moments when she's really scared and I'm there to soothe her. And my neighbor's talking to Zach and I hear her through the window. Anyways, and a big part of the show was me interacting with my dad, who had this was in the movie. A big part of the movie was interacting with, she would see herself as a younger child and have flashbacks interacting with her father who sexually and physically abused her. Okay, I'm 11. I have a healthy relationship, not even just a healthy relationship. I have an unbelievably beautiful relationship with my dad, and I always have. I didn't even know, I think up until that point, that fathers did that. I'm trying to think like what that made me feel as an 11-year-old experiencing that, because my father, like my own personal relationship with my dad was not like that. And again, everyone on set was so sweet. The director always made me feel so comfortable. No one was weird to me. I had a great experience and I didn't walk away traumatized. But looking back on my life now as an adult, thinking about being a mother, thinking about knowing people who have 11-year-olds, it's just nuts to think, wow, that's what I was exposed to. And I was probably sitting there trying to process, like, why am I having to act this? Why am I? I just remember I really had to act being scared. And I was really good at it. Like, I could cry on command like you wouldn't fucking believe. And I probably could still do it today if I wanted to. But I just remember thinking, like, why am I so scared? Like, this poor woman is still stuck in this feeling of fear. Even at her age, I think she was like, maybe she was 19 in the film, 24. I don't know. Richard, if you're listening to this, let me know. But anyways, yeah, I think about my own experience. That was my own personal experience with Hollywood, amongst many other stories and things that I could say, but my heart just hurts for those kids. And there's been a lot of talk around like the parents' involvement. And I think I know my parents as stage parents who were actually on set with me when I did commercials and movies. They would have said some shit, but like I was an extra on Walk Hard with, it's like the Johnny Cash story. It's a parody, I think. And it's with, what's his name? He's in Step Brothers. I'll think of him. I absolutely loved him. John C. Reilly. He played Johnny Cash. Is it Johnny Cash? You guys, maybe it is. I don't know. But I was a kid and there were a ton of kids on set and we were on a farm in the middle of LA or no, like Northern California, maybe. I don't know. Mom, where were we? And there were some scenes when we were like out in the field and he was singing a song and like my mom was back at like in the casting, like in the tent area. And I guess shit could have happened out there that like would have been embarrassing or like violating and my mom wouldn't have known and unless I had told her. And I can't even, like, you're in so many meetings with managers, agents, acting coaches, and a large part of acting, and I'm sorry people don't talk about this because God forbid Hollywood actually admits that they profile every single person in the most fucked up of ways, But like part of being a girl being casted in roles is being looked at by your body being looked at. And I think I talked about this in my Love Your Body episode, but like I was told repeatedly to change the way I looked. I was 11. I turned 12 while I was in LA. I wasn't even a teenager yet. Just like put that in your mind. And grown adults, both men and women, are telling me, well, let me not say men because it was really only one woman. And I believe maybe she had good intentions, but she just wanted me to get roles. But she's like, she needs to be thinner. I did not need to be thinner. I didn't. I did not need to be thinner. And yeah, your parents just try to do the best they can for you to get you jobs because that's why you're there, is to work because that's your dream, or in some cases it's parents' dreams, but it was my dream. That's what I wanted to do. I more than life itself, which it's funny. I was thinking about, you know, people ask like, oh, did you work as a, when you were younger? And I usually say no, because my work in high school was the extension of babysitting. And for $40 a month, I would pick up the newsletters at my, what's it called, clubhouse in the neighborhood. And I would distribute them to every single house on one half of the neighborhood. And it was, I think it was, it's either 75 homes or 175 homes. But 200 homes seems like a lot, but then 75 doesn't feel like enough. It was a lot of houses. I took a whole afternoon, like a whole Saturday, 4 hours. They paid me $40. You guys, child labor. Anyways, I did that and I babysat, okay? I don't even think about, I literally worked. I worked from 10 to 12, 2 years of my adolescence. I was a worker. I made money. I had an account at Wells Fargo. I had to memorize my social security number. What 10-year-old knows their social security number? I did. It's just crazy. I don't know how I got on this topic or why we're talking about it, but I hope you find that fascinating. It's just sad to me. I absolutely can see how it happens. The last thing I'll say about it is, believe me, in my opinion, there are so many more people that need to be held accountable past and included but not limited to Dan Schneider. Like so many people. And how many people is actually sickening. And I don't know or think, in my opinion, if they will ever be brought to justice. In fact, I'm sure a lot of the people on the board at these large production companies, these large networks, child networks, are still there and are still kicking. And in fact, maybe even help produce Quiet on Set. I don't know. That would be interesting to look into. But I don't know. Truly, in my opinion, I think there are like, okay. If you really want to get into it, making a movie is a choice. It's a choice. And it's not a mandatory one. It is a privilege. It costs a fuck ton of money. It's frivolous. It's something that's fun. And it is not needed. It's not needed in society. Like, and I'm not saying like a movie didn't change your life or make you become a different person or make you a better person. I'm not saying that because I love the arts and I believe in them wholeheartedly. It's like who I am. I'm literally a theater nerd. Okay, that's who I am. I'm a theater kid to an extent. I'm a theater kid, athlete, triangle. But I say it in the sense of, like, if all hell broke loose and we really had to, like, dwindled to down to the bare minimum as a society and only live life and eat and breathe and drink at the bare minimum, we wouldn't be making movies. Okay, maybe someone be making a documentary, but that's for documenting and that's different. I'm saying, like, did we really, we don't need a new Top Gun, although we did, it was so good, but like, we don't need those things. It's not it's not a necessity in society. And I say that to say writing things is a choice as well. And I know writers will talk like, oh no, that character had to have that ending. Bitch, be so motherfucking for real, BFFR. No, they didn't. You chose that and that's great. And it may or may not have been a great ending. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fucked up scenes in some movies where a child is put in a compromising position, where a child is touched inappropriately for the sake of a scene, where a high school girl is sexualized. Like, these things do not need to play out on camera. They play out in real life, and it's sick, and it's people's real fucking lives and nightmares. It doesn't need to be lived on screen for you or me to be entertained on a Wednesday night on Netflix. Like, real talk. And I think that's the only reform you can really do, is like, stop putting kids in scenes that are inappropriate. It doesn't need to be written. Come up with something funnier. You're a writer. You're at the Top Child Cartoon Network. Figure it out. Like, you don't need to do a scene where Jamie Lynn Spears gets shot in the face with, I don't even know what she got shot with, but it looks like some kind of shot. If you catch my drift, on your face. She was like 11. Disgusting. If you are listening to this episode and this is fascinating you, then I highly recommend the Vile Files podcast episode with Raven Simone and her wife, who I'm so sorry I'm not remembering her name at the moment. I highly recommend. She talks about her thoughts on child acting, which, of course, she has. The stories she could tell, I can't even imagine. And I think she has a lot of really good things to say. And I think those are the types of people who we should be listening to. And by types of people, I mean, that's who I feel like has, if you ask me, what are the qualifications to make like legislation and or garner rules around something, it is Raven Simone, who has been in the industry since she could open her eyes, I don't know, since she was 3. And she is a beautiful person, and she has a lot of amazing things to say about child labor. So I'm going to default to her, but that's what I just have to say about it. Again, I tried to bring this episode so high, and it's been a very low. But before I finish out on God knows what other topics, let's take a little breaky break, if you will.
So anyways, without further ado, I'm going to say goodbye. I love you so much. And, I know, you know, if you listen to Jackie Schimmel, she'll say, like, saying I love you is fucking weird. Like, stop saying that. But I will say I have so much love for you, truly, and I'm giving that to you through this microphone, and I hope you have an amazing week. I hope the things that you're wishing for come to you. Next week's episode, I have to think on it, because it's going to be coming out during the solar eclipse. And that's a little spooky, witchy vibes, and that may be fun. So we'll see. We'll see what I do next week. But it'll probably be definitely non-alcoholic, because that lowers your vibration. And I hope, yeah, whatever the fuck I was saying earlier, I hope you have an amazing week. Goodbye. I hope it carried you to your drive or wherever you are. And just know, if you're feeling alone, you're not alone. If you're needing encouragement, you can do it. Do the thing and do the hard things and stay open doing it. Good night. What? You guys.
What?
It just said another app required direct access to the hardware. What the fuck does that mean? Did it not record this episode? If you have to listen to this on shitty fucking vocals, I'm gonna lose it.